My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you agree with Bears GM Ryan Poles, who said from London yesterday that he's seen a cleaner operation from rookie QB1? Caleb Williams.
I thought from watching his eyes and just going through the process, there was more poised and controlled, and he knew where to go with the ball faster. So those are all promising things to see.
So what do you think? Is this exactly what we wanted to see from Caleb Williams? Do you agree with his boss, Ryan Poles?
Yeah, you know, I would like to see it. I kind of want to hold on to my feelings about it. I agree with what he said, but I kind of want to hold on until I see him do it against, you know, better opponents and hopefully in the division. I would love to see the continued development of the quarterback. I kind of equate what he said yesterday to, and I think we've all seen it, but I kind of equate it to this idea of comparing him to Jaden Daniels or anyone else. I think that when you see somebody getting better, you don't care what other people are doing. You just want to see him get better. And I think he's getting better. And I also believe that that he will continue to improve. And I also believe that you can't really tell what he is for another couple of years. I do like what I've seen thus far, and I would go so far as to say that if you wanted to replay a game or two from early in the year, I think he'd be so much better now than he was then that it's kind of, it would be fun to do like a little funny mirror experiment type of thing, because I definitely see a pronounced improvement from the quarterback, and I thought the general manager did a pretty good job of identifying it.
Yeah, the general manager really took a big leap, and or I think, David, you mentioned this yesterday, you know, Eberflus went into his office or called him to his office and said, hey, look, this is what we're doing moving forward. I'm going to help you out with the game plan here. But what I love about Caleb Williams is he's not where Jaden Daniels is yet. And we're going to see how good Jaden Daniels is, by the way, this weekend against the Ravens. I think the Ravens would like to punch him in the mouth just because of the rivalry and the proximity of the two teams. But Caleb has gotten better. Each week, he has gotten better. And the one thing he is not doing that I would like to applaud him for the most is he is protecting the football, and he is taking what the defense gives him. He's running the ball a little bit. A couple of nice first down runs in that game against the Panthers.
We are evaluating wins and losses because we have high expectations for this Bears season, and they are in the position where they can make a run for the playoffs realistically. But we're also watching quarterback development in real time. So you're going to see natural struggles early on that we saw, and he has begun to overcome. This is gradual, incremental, however you want to describe it, but it is happening, and there is progress. And I think the more you give Caleb Williams, it seems the more he can handle. I like the way that they have allowed him to have the autonomy at the line of scrimmage when they pick up the pace. I think he's almost at his best in those situations. You've seen him be very vocal at the line of scrimmage in identifying blitzes or protections or changing plays. We don't know how often that happens, but you sense it happens a lot. And maybe they wanted to talk to him and Shane Waldron after the Colts debacle, and they said, well, don't change so many runs to passes. We want to keep some runs running plays. Whatever the case is, I think Ryan Poles was identifying things that were promising, because that's the right word after five games to use for Caleb Williams. It's very promising because he has started to trend in the right direction. The game is slowing down, and you're starting to see him do more as they have maybe tried to do less offensively. Run the ball, he's very good in play action. His numbers with the play action pass were great against the Panthers, and now he's got another opportunity against the Jaguars, a bad defense, to make even more progress.
First, I ask questions.
DJ Moore said Caleb Williams has been more assertive lately.
He's been bossy lately, telling us that we need to be on the details, but we really do for him to be the best player he needs to be. So what I mean by bossy is we don't hit something in practice. He's going to tell us how we need to run it, this, that, and we just look at him and be like, okay. And then when we get out there on the game, you just better make sure it works because he's going to have some words for you if you don't. So that's him being a leader. He's a little bossy. No, just a little bro, so.
That's what you want, right? He's younger than I guess.
That's
what you want to see.
Yeah, you do want to see that. Like I said, he's like little bro, so you like looking at him like, dude, don't be talking to me like that. But it's but I understand because we need to really connect on that. And that's what we did this past week. So I took his advice. I listened. You know what I'm saying? Older bro had to take a back seat for a second.
Have you seen that work positively for the Bears? Is this rare for a rookie?
I like it. I think everybody is easy. It's easy to like because you hear the comfort level and the comfy QB becomes the bossy QB. And it's great because it is asserting a leadership style. And you see that finally we're not really just interpreting body language from DJ Moore. We hear him say things about his quarterback that depict a leader in the making. It's just natural, his personality. And it's a good rapport. It's an easy rapport. I don't know how rare it is for a rookie, but it might be expected from a rookie who is one of the captains. So, yes, it is a rookie quarterback, and yes, he is the little bro, as he was referred to by DJ Moore, but he's also a captain. So if he wants to get a little bossy, you kind of get it, and it's part of the job description. So it has worked positively for the Bears. I think Caleb Williams is just starting to emerge with his own style. He's started out being a very good listener, as he said, and he can actually now talk a good game as well. So this is progress, and it's fun.
It's progress. We talked about that a little bit in the first question, and we've also heard from Caleb. I played a cut in the pregame show talking about how he knows how he has to talk to different people. He knows how he has to approach different people, and that, of course, includes his wide receiver one, our guy, DJ Moore. So I think that's important, too, knowing that it's just not one voice. Everybody has to be approached differently. And his background has helped him be like this. And I guess this is another reason why he's one of 8 Bears captains.
Yeah, I think it's a negative word, bossy. It's just, and I don't think that DJ was taking a shot at him or anything, but I think that bossy implies know-it-all, doesn't it? I mean, isn't it someone who's bossy, a kind of domineering? It's just, I would prefer to think of it as more of an assertive quality than a bossy one. More a guy that is commanding than someone that is just kind of waiting for someone to
domineering.
Yes. So I think that there are different words, and bossy is a funny word. I think of, Miss Bossy Pants. What was the name of, the woman from Saturday Night Live, her autobiography? I read that book. It was hilarious. She worked at the Evanston YMCA at one point in her life. Pretty funny. But I thought it was funny, and I think DJ is a funny guy, and I like the quality and the spirit in which it was intended.
Eberflus will have a chance to address some of those questions later.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time, 8 o'clock this morning. Brad Biggs at 8. He'll be off the trolley, out of the tube, or whatever joke we want to make about that. What did you make of Matt Eberflus being included in Athletic Story, listing coaches on the hot seat? Robert Saleh fired by the Jets. It makes sense to look at coaches leading struggling franchises like, well, Doug Peterson, 1-4. Kevin Stefanski with the Browns, 1-4. Brian Daboll with the Giants, 2-3. Maybe even the Eagles, Nick Sirianni at 2-2. But should guys with winning records like Mike McCarthy in Dallas, Eberflus here in town, both 3-2, in trouble in season? Huh? Aren't those two in completely different situations anyway?
Yeah, I can't think of two guys in more opposite situations, frankly, than than Mike McCarthy and Matt Eberflus. You know, McCarthy's a guy where they've tried different things and it hasn't happened. And if he doesn't win in the playoffs, you could conceivably see them going in a different direction, right? It just is not working when it matters most. Whereas Eberflus is building something, and they're on the upswing. I also think that, you know, the difference between Dak Prescott and decisions that they had to make about paying him versus Caleb Williams as a first year quarterback, they're completely different situations. And the very fact that the Bears found a reason to keep Matt Eberflus would seemingly indicate that they want to keep him and they want him to be there with Caleb Williams, and they don't want to restart the engine after one season. And we all know how bad that idea is, just the idea of making someone play with a quarterback instead of picking their quarterback, that kind of thing. So, I think they're very different situations. I think if Matt Eberflus were to lose on Sunday, maybe we get back into that kind of conversation.
Maybe.
If they get to, and the Bears are never going to fire him in season.
No.
But by the end of the year, if you don't see a winning record, if you see some sort of falter, then, you know, perhaps. But it seems like things are on the upswing. It seems like they're feeling pretty good. I don't think Eberflus belongs in that group right now.
Well, you could look at it because there is a lot expected of the Bears this year. That's why he's on the list, because I guess the quote unquote experts see him as underperforming right now, even with a 3-2 record. I'm just saying, if they were just a team in the middle, he probably wouldn't be on the list if there were no expectations. They have the number one overall pick. People think they have a generational talent. People believe they put all the right weapons on the offensive side of the ball, so it's win now or else. So you could look at that as a fan as a positive, because people are expecting big things from your team, and it's not just, the Bears, so what? Shrug your shoulders.
But they're 3-2, so they have one more than they lost.
I understand that.
And they're looking at 4-2 if they take care of business in London. I think he was thrown in there as a maybe, just in case things start to trend the other way. There's no comparison with Mike McCarthy in terms of ownership, in terms of expectations, a quarterback situation, and also longevity. Mike McCarthy's been there longer, and they have probably ample reason to fire him if they don't accomplish certain things in Dallas. Different dynamic in place. You know, Matt Eberflus, if things are trending in the right direction, is looking at a winning season, and then what? So you can make the argument just as strong if you want to put him on the hot seat. I understand that. It's the NFL reality. Coaches have 3 years to prove something. And if you prove that you're not going anywhere, you're going to have speculation about you getting fired. But if things continue to progress in the right direction for Matt Eberflus, he's closer to a contract extension than getting fired. So that's just the way it works in the NFL. You look at Mike McDaniel, who luckily for him signed his big deal in the offseason before Tua got hurt. He's locked up long term, and they're going to struggle mightily this year. So it's what have you done for me lately? It's one game at a time, all the cliches. But Matt Eberflus, I don't think, is on a very hot seat at all right now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Now that Jaquan Brisker has been ruled out of Sunday's game, how much confidence do you have in his replacement? That is Elijah Hicks. Who else needs to do more in Brisker's absence?
Well, I think the pass rush needs to do more. The run defense will suffer a little bit. Jaquan Brisker is a physical force in the run game, in the box. One of those safeties who makes a lot of tackles, tied for the team lead with 40. And that's going to be missed. And they already have struggled stopping the run the last 3 weeks, even even though the Panthers were blown out, you had the Chuba Hubbard 38-yard touchdown, which added to their stats, and the yards per carry was not good, not what you want it to be if you're the Bears. Bend, don't break. Elijah Hicks has 8 NFL starts. It's his third season. They like him. 7th-round pick in Ryan Poles' first draft class. So he steps in. I'm surprised a little bit it's not Jonathan Owens, but Elijah Hicks makes that safety position more interchangeable with Kevin Byard. And he'll play fine. If on a perfect day, ideally, you won't notice him. He'll make enough plays or he'll prevent enough big plays from happening that you won't notice him. And he'll just be a guy that is solid against the run and safe against the pass and deep as the deepest, as they say. But I just don't know if you can say casually, well, they're not going to miss Jaquan Brisker. They will miss Jaquan Brisker. He's one of their emotional leaders, and he certainly is big on the blitz, and he's big on run defense. So it's a step back, but luckily for the Bears, they've got an elite defense, and they can cover up one guy's absence.
Well, I think it's a great point you just made. The less we hear Elijah Hicks' name, the better. That means he's having a good game. You don't get a lot of credit usually in that position unless you're taking the ball away or you're involved in a very violent collision like Brisker was. But I remember last year when he was out, Elijah Hicks didn't play all that well. And I would like to see, you know, a little bit more from Mr. Simone Biles. That, of course, is Jonathan Owens. At one point, though, the secondary was believed to be the strength of that defense. So when you take arguably the second best person away from the best unit, you're taking a pretty big step back. This might change my pick, just as a preview for tomorrow's prediction. The missing Jaquan Brisker might change my pick on the Bears.
Win or loss?
Maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. Elijah Hicks is a solid professional player. He has been here for a number of years. He has already, this will be his 9th career start. So he's had to start games and he's done fine. It's not, I disagree with you. I don't think that he's been like an absolute disaster or anything like that. I think there's a reason that he is the primary backup and that he's ahead of Jonathan Owens. He's been here longer and he's had to play before, and this will be the 9th time that he steps into a starting role. It's pretty good for a former 7th-round pick. So I think the key to being good in the NFL is to have frontline stars, and I think Brisker is an excellent player and one of their better players in that secondary. But the key is to have frontline stars and have guys that can step in and do the role when needed. And I think he will be very solid in the place of Jaquan Brisker. I don't believe, Dustino, that they lose this game because of Elijah Hicks.
What kind of question is that?
Oh, there he is, Aaron Rodgers, adamantly denying that he had anything to do with Robert Saleh getting fired.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't, but I love Robert, and he was, you know, one of those days yesterday.
That's at least two sentences.
No, that is about 5.
I'm just saying, for me, that's at least 2. It's more than one. It's more than one, Aaron. What do you guys think?
Well, look, that's a lot of sentences. And methinks the lady doth protest too much. I believe that is from Hamlet, the play within the play. That is Queen Gertrude, kind of her response to when she sees the overreaction of the wife of King Hamlet as he's being poisoned, when she is the wife of King Hamlet. It's just an interesting take from Aaron Rodgers. I think that he's now worried about how the ridiculous allegations and how he's perceived when, you know, the guy can't even bring himself to hug him on the sidelines, but he loves him now. Aaron Rodgers is, it is great theater. I'm going to miss him. I was thinking this morning when I heard about Rafi Nadal retiring, I just thought, God, there are sportsmen who are omnipresent to a certain extent and that you see all the time, and then they go, and that's the end of it. And I'm sure at some point, Aaron Rodgers will not be playing in the NFL anymore, and I will miss him.
Well, I'm sure Aaron would like all of us to R-E-L-A-X, but you can't. And also, you know, the sleeveless punter whose show he goes on once a week never asked him to respond to the report that his offensive coordinator was about to get his play calling duties stripped away. That was one of the reasons.
Still could.
Well, but I'm saying that my problem is right. that the sleeveless punter didn't bother to ask that question.
I think he does a pretty good job, the sleeveless punter, honestly.
I think Aaron Rodgers contributed to Robert Saleh getting fired by being bad, not by being necessarily somebody who picked up the phone and called Woody Johnson and said, we need a change. And maybe that was part of the impetus behind Woody Johnson's thinking. Think if they wanted to, they couldn't get rid of Nathaniel Hackett or because they would upset Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. He may be protesting too much. He may be everything he says, you kind of like, oh, really? You kind of get tired of hearing him talk. And he certainly is not the same quarterback, but he was bad. And the offense was bad as a result of that. So that's why Robert Saleh had to go. I still think that it was a meddlesome owner. A guy that acted impulsively. They checked out on the season after 5 games, 2-3. You make in-season coaching changes. You really can't. It's not like other sports, as I continue to say. You can't just bring in a guy like baseball in May and turn your season around. It's not like the NBA. And you can turn it. Too many systems are in place. Too much. The staffs are too big. The season is too short in terms of how many games that you play. You can't change everything. So I think this was an impulsive move by an owner that feels like he had to make a change. And I think it was the wrong decision, even though Aaron Rodgers will get a lot of blame for this. It's not that I don't even want to say the words, I believe Aaron Rodgers, but I think that his role in this has probably been overstated.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What was the biggest development on a day that saw all 4 MLB playoff series in action? That yesterday, the last day that there will be more than 2 games on in a day quite some time.
There is not enough time to answer this question adequately. Goodness sakes, you pick a game and you could find a moment. Now, the Dodgers-Padres was probably the biggest blowout, but the Dodgers got away with the bullpen game and they kept alive and stayed alive to go back to L.A. That's big because that's the highest paid team in baseball, the best team in baseball. They live to fight another day. But it's a toss-up between... It's a toss-up. Due respect to the Yankees, Royals, it's a toss-up between the Tigers and the Mets. I don't know which is more remarkable. I would probably lean toward the Tigers. Less dramatic, more remarkable. But for drama, it doesn't get better than Frankie Lindor hitting the grand slam, rounding the bases like he knew exactly what he was doing, and this was no big deal because I am who I am, and this was the biggest swing of his career, as Adam Amin said, or biggest swing of the season, and it is the latest big swing of the season, of the postseason for the Mets. Good for them. Why aren't the Cubs doing this? That's what went through my mind. The Tigers, $18.8 million payroll for the 26-man playoff roster. Unbelievable stuff from A.J. Hinch, the manager who should be in Chicago, but everything through the Chicago prism there. I think that yesterday, I'm sad that this is not going to be another day with 4 games because it was an amazing day for baseball.
Great day for baseball, great night for baseball. Frankie Lindor's grand slam, by far the biggest moment, and the Mets punching a ticket to the NLCS at home. And it just, again, tells you, get to the tournament, anything can happen.
You said at home, you know, to do that in front of their fans, they hadn't done that before. That was a big deal, and that meant a lot. I got to tell you, it was definitely the elimination game, and it was definitely Frankie Lindor meeting his moment. I love that guy as a player. I got to tell you, when I'm watching that game and you get to the ninth inning and there's like no hope left, but they get 2 guys on base and all they want is to try to get to the top of the line. If they can get to the top of the lineup, they can tie the game. Maybe they can win the game. And so you get Schwarber up at plate, the great Schwarber. It's like Casey at bat. You just that guy, his body. They had a long shot of him stretched out with, you know, he's his left-handed swing, and you're sitting there thinking, it was almost like I almost had to catch my breath for a second, like, oh my God, is this a big moment? And he strikes out, and the game's over, and everybody's celebrating. But that moment was like, wow, the drama of getting two guys on base and getting Schwarber, of all people, at bat and having a chance to prevent what was inevitable, I suppose, your elimination. That was just, that's great stuff in baseball. It was Casey at bat, man. It was just a big, cool moment to see have happen at the end of the game. And again, the grand slam and what that meant. They're down a run and they win the game. That's baseball, man. That is what it's all about.
It's October.
Really, really fun.
Yep.
Really good stuff. I got to tell you, I immediately texted our group, you know, wow, what drama. And, you know, no one answered me for hours. Dustin, you never even answered. David at least acknowledged that, yeah, that was dramatic. Or do we say dramatic?
It was both.
Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.